The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them, then they shall dwell in their own land. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
None who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to awake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowds spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. None who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. You may be seated. So as we begin a new church year, what better way to start it off than to contemplate your mortality? Now, what do I mean? Well, think about this very instance. You're closer to your death than you were when you sang the hymn of the day. Or when this sermon is over, you will be even closer than now, and the breaths you're taking this very instant are more breaths closer and closer to when you will breathe your last. Uplifting, right? Well, maybe not so much. But we know all too well that time is fleeting, and so are you. Yet for you who are in Christ, it's not something fatalistic. Rather, it's a call to repentance and places before you something of great joy and anticipation. Now let's listen again to those words from the epistle reading that put you in this framework. St. Paul writes, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." So as Christians, there is a warning and an instruction in all of this to you. God warns you, as he has the previous Sundays leading up to this, the end of the church year, talking about the end and the final judgment, to be vigilant, to be on your guard, to be awake. You are to wake from sleep. God doesn't say this to you with empty words. It's not just a turn of phrase that he likes to use. Because the reason you are told this is because the temptation from your fallen flesh, from the devil, from the world around you, it's to be drowsy. It's to sleep. It's to grow bored, complacent, apathetic, and anything and everything in between as you go through this life. It's to walk in darkness toward death without giving any thought to Christ and eternity. Now, God says something similar in Ephesians 4 when the Holy Spirit inspired St. Paul to write, yet again, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding and alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ." So you see, those works of darkness are not who you are in Christ. Unbelief is living and walking in darkness. It's sin that does this and wants you to close your eyes, to not see by the light that you have. In a minute, those things which sin against God start to define your life and begin to rule over you and have sway in such a way as you no longer see your need to repent of your sin, or you just stop caring. You've already entered back into the darkness of sin and death, and you've cast away the light of life. So rather than walking and living, you lay down and sleep in preparation for the outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell. So each breath you take closer to death has been lived as a living death already. Jesus said in John 11, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. So the urgency in all of this is to know what this means for you. So listen to Jesus. Listen to God's word and be renewed in hearing these warnings that he preaches to you. Cast away the works of darkness because you see the day is upon you. What does this mean? Well, you're even closer to death now than you were when I brought that up at the beginning of the sermon. Life in this world is a life to live in a fallen world. So see who you are by examining your life. Now, Jesus was promised, and he came when the fullness of time had come. He walked in the light, even as he is the light. And in him there is no darkness at all. And even from the time of his conception by the Holy Spirit in the womb of his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Lord was getting closer and closer to something as he preached, as he worked miracles, as he taught his people. He went forth each day, step by step, fulfilling the law of God perfectly and obediently, never once wavering, never once failing. His obedience to the Father who sent him was perfect and absolute. He knew what he must do, and with each breath he took, he knew he was getting closer and closer to what must be done as he is the beloved Son of God. His time was here, and it was time to head to the cross. And he did so obediently and lovingly for you. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. And so the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them in that gospel reading. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And so here is Jesus. This is your Lord. Awaken and greet him as he draws near. Repent and find your Lord who shows you mercy. Adore him with joyous songs and psalms. Jesus said in John 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And again in John 12, he said, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. So you see, to be baptized into Christ is to be a child of light. It's to be a child of the day. So then as you go through this world, inching toward death, you do so as one who has eternal life, as one who has light. And so, yes, you are closer to salvation than you were a few minutes ago. You're closer and closer to when your Lord returns in glory with his beam so cheering to guide you safely home. You're closer to eternal life. And all of this is even as you have salvation, as you have forgiveness, as you have life now. So how shall you meet the Lord? Well, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. That's your confession. That's your hope in your Redeemer, Jesus. So is your life any different in the here and now because of this? Well, know who you are in Christ and listen to what God teaches you. You see that you have something because you have someone. The Lord is our righteousness, Jeremiah prophesied. And that's absolutely something very important. So you see then that all that Christ is, all that is his righteousness, it's yours through faith. All of it. All of it, his whole life, his atoning death, his resurrection from the grave, those are yours. So now then listen to those words again of the epistle reading and see the great freedom you have in Christ and what you now have in him as God's word clearly teaches you. Besides this, you know that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. What you wear as your baptismal garment every day is the armor of light. You're clothed with Christ, Jesus, who is the light of the world. So when you walk through the darkness of this fallen world, you are not overcome because the darkness cannot overcome him. God's word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. So you're not groping and reaching through the darkness, trying to reach out and grasp whatever you may think may offer some type of solace and false light in your life. No, your eyes are fixed on the light of the world. And you head toward him even as he is with you and covers you, and you have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and you bear the armor of light. So facing things like temptation are seen by you as something that you have the victory over, and you can see the end in sight, and you see past them. So using examples like the text from the epistle, you see something like drunkenness as something just as a temporary fix to try and find some escape from the darkness. But as a Christian, you look at that and you know it, and you see it for what it really is. You see the falsehood, you see the hopelessness, and you see deeper and deeper despair and the slavery that it brings. You look at quarreling and jealousy, and you see how ridiculous they are and serve only purposes of either exalting yourself or hurting your neighbor. You see the poison they spread and continue to breed more and more until relationships and people are darkened to the point that they can't see one another, and it's the blind leading the blind. No, you face these things with the armor of light. You face them as one who shines the light upon them, who scatters the darkness and is free to live in the light rather than the darkness. Because that's who you are in Christ. That's what he has given to you. Besides this, you know that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. So for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. And so you are closer to the day of redemption, dear people of God. There's a sobering reality to this, as you know your own mortality, to be sure. But there's great hope. There's anticipation. There's joy and peace in all of this for you as a Christian. You're drawing near to the eternal day, where there is no darkness, where there is no more suffering, there's no more sin, there's no more death. Because Jesus has come. The light has entered the darkness and he has scattered it. He has conquered. You are forgiven and you have the armor of light. Greet each day as one who lives in the daylight and go to bed each night knowing that the dawn is always on the horizon for you, as Jesus promises you. He is coming for your redemption. He comes as a light of consolations. He comes as a blessed hope to you who love the Lord's appearing. And so it's Advent, dear saints of God. And what a wonderful thing it is to have this life here and now that is not a life of darkness. No, it's a life of light, of forgiveness, and freedom to truly live and enjoy what God has given to you now. And what a wonderful thing it is as well to live knowing the glory to come as you get closer and closer with each breath and step to when the Lord guides you and all his people, the church, safely home. And so stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins, and saved by your mighty deliverance. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.